studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Good Monday afternoon. This is Robin, and I have one word for my co-host, Cliff, who's sitting on the other side of the table over there.
Hello.
And that word is, brr, it's cold.
I was going to go, aha, real, you know, but my voice isn't going up that way. It went partway and stopped. Weird. Can't get an aha out. It's horrible. Life is rough.
So, since you're missing your aha, if anybody has an extra aha they could spare, send it to P.O. Box.
Who is crappy tea bags? So they logged into the chat room. Crappy tea bags.
Yeah. Anyways, but since Cliff just brought up the chat room, by the way, we'll get our contact information out. It's going to be a fun show today, folks.
Really?
I am crazy, but you know that's okay. Crazy is good. We do have the chat room open, by the way, both chat rooms, one at Blog Talk Radio, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. The other one, which is our own chat room, which does not require any special accounts or names, whatever, is at krbnradio.com, and you can join us in both places. Or better yet, you can give us a call right now at 646-721-9887. And if you are happening to listen to us on the archives, you can still kind of be involved in today's program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And, of course, we are also available on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter. And I know Google tried to came out with a social network. I have not even signed up for it. Don't even ask.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Jeep or Google Plus or something like that, and you know, because Google's trying
every
their best.
Anything anybody else does, Google does it, and usually does it bigger. I noticed that Microsoft has tried to do a Google Earth type of pictures type of thing, and boy, are they ever bad!
I hate
to say that. Bing is not too bad. That's Microsoft, and that's getting pretty popular. But you know, there's a new one. What is it? It's something orange. What the heck is it? A new, and I was going to do it the other day. It's a new search engine, and I was going to use it the other day and went to it. Oh, it's Orange Ask, and went to it.
Orange what?
Orange Ask, A-S-K.
Okay.
.com. But I went there and they were down for maintenance or something, so I don't know. I haven't gone back to see if they're back yet or not.
Yeah, the thing is, like with Google and other stuff, it's just like the TV and movie programming. It's like everybody's mimicking like old stuff. They're bringing back old stuff or copying somebody else. Come up with new original stuff. You know, be original. Be a leader.
You know, the problem with that is, and I've been in the broadcast industry for a million years, and I'd come up, I'd think and come up with this really great idea, only to find out somebody's already doing it. So everything you come up with, you'll find out somebody's doing it somewhere. So you may as well just steal theirs and have it over with in the first place, and get the best of the best.
That's right.
That's always been my solution for it.
Well, anyways. Being that, we got a lot to talk about today, as always, and of course, if we touch on a nerve, give us a call. If you have a topic that you would like to bring up, give us a call as well, 646-721-9887, and the more people that call, the less I'll stop giving out phone numbers. Actually, I won't. I'll still give out the numbers, but you can't stop me from giving out the phone numbers. Sorry,
well,
folks.
I mean, that's the way we do things, and I'm really looking forward to getting people to call, because that's where we really learn things and can find out information, and we've had some really, really good callers in the past, so we'd like to have some more in the future, so think about it. 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887.
And anyway, some of the topics that we have on the list today, we got touch on Herman Cain, what's going on a little bit. We got some Portland public schools, things going on. And are you familiar with the group called PETA?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with them, but I've heard of them and basically know the idea, the premise.
Well, PETA, which is the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I'm a professional, folks. ethical treatment of animals.
Treating animals or talking?
Of animals. In other words, they're the ones that, you know, they've been going and trying to, in fact, they actually successfully closed down a company that sells furs here in Portland.
Really?
Yeah. Well, now they're on.
Real furs?
Yeah, real furs.
The audacity to sell real furs in this day and age? You don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah, I know. Some of the artificial stuff are the faux, or however you pronounce it.
Faux.
F-A-U-X. It's actually pretty good, really.
Pronounce the X. Come on, girl.
I know. I have a couple. Faux. Fur. Say that three times fast. Faux. Fur. Anyways.
Faux fox. Or maybe it's focused again. I don't know.
Try that. I'm not even going to go there. Okay. Anyway, PETA is attacking, and you'll love this. They are attacking Mario Brothers.
Oh, God.
The video game.
You've got to be kidding.
They're attacking Mario Brothers because apparently in the new one, and I guess in some of the old ones, where Mario is wearing the skin of a raccoon, which gives him superpowers, they feel that because this game character is wearing that it's giving children the wrong idea about fur.
And the wrong idea about possums and raccoons and things. They aren't powerful at all.
No. They usually lose it when they go up against the car. But
the only thing that bothers me about raccoons is they have these little people hands, and they do things with people hands, and they're really cute.
But anyways, yeah, they're going after a video game, of all things. So, you know, I could just see that the protesters out there now. And, of course, in Portland, they'll protest. Well, in Eugene, they'll protest anything.
We just got so out of touch with reality, with this all this politically correct stuff and all of this. You know, it's just so crazy to, you know, in my opinion. I mean, you couldn't do any of the old cartoon things, you know, the any of them. They're all about chasing each other around with bows and arrows and throwing them off the cliffs and throwing rocks at them and dropping boulders on them. That's what cartoons were. And
that's right. I mean, but you don't hear kids going out nowadays and saying, I want to go out and play cowboys and Native Americans.
Yeah, really. Really, that's it too, I tell you.
It loses something in the translation.
I have never seen a kid go out and drop a boulder off of a cliff on somebody either. So, I mean, you know, it's just insane.
Well, and you know what? Even though that, you know, I'm in my mid-50s and I grew up with Yogi Bear and everything, I have not ever in my life had the uncontrollable urge to steal a picnic basket.
Actually, you know, I will have to admit I have never stolen a picnic basket, but I have sit across the park and coveted someone's sandwiches. I didn't actually steal them. I just drooled over them.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah. I remember I was in a park one day. We were traveling, and we had stopped just to use the potty, and we were standing there watching these people who were having a really nice picnic. You know, they had really good stuff with, you know, chicken and potato salad and all this. I'm walking by there just drooling. We got back on the highway and drove at least, 4 or 5 miles and hit a Kentucky Fried Chicken immediately.
That's right. Well, otherwise their sandwich was all wet.
Yeah.
Other things going on. Your cell phone may be telling on you if you have one of the new smartphones.
Well, that's why they're smart. They can tell on you.
Yeah, well, I don't have all the backstory on it, but apparently there's a program called Carrier IQ Spyware, which is in millions of cell phones. It was discovered, I don't have the information in front of me, unfortunately. I do apologize for that. It was discovered and put on YouTube, and apparently the guy that discovered it got threatened by the company. It's called Carrier IQ. And Senator Al Franken got involved on it and demanding answers. Apparently what the software does, it's similar to a rootkit, which is one thing you don't want in your computers, and they're very hard to find. It basically, it's on the kernel level of your phone, and it tracks every text message, every image, and basically everything else you're doing on your cell phone. And, of course, being America, whenever something else comes out, there's always an opportunity. There's a company called Byte Defender, which we have a link on the KRBN or the Blog Talk Radio show page, which has an app, because there's an app for everything, that will check your phone to see if it's in there or not, and I believe it will also remove it. But at least it'll tell you if that Carrier IQ is on your cell phone. So, like I say, there's a link on the Blog Talk Radio.
Was it certain kinds of phones, or just all phones, or what?
Apparently, it's on most of them, and companies like Verizon were aware of it, because I think they put it on there.
Oh, really? Well, sometimes you can get something that you thought was really good, and it turns out to be it wasn't. I remember a lot of people used to download these spy bot type things, and most of those were actually spyware. They weren't actually
exactly. And well, like I say, the just like with regular computers, you know, a lot of things can be going on in the background, and you're not aware of it. That's why we have to have antivirus programs on your computers, and now you're getting to the point you need to have it on your cell phone. But,
well, one of the things that I have done in the past and continue to do is I shut my computer off. I don't let it run 24 hours a day. I shut it off. And for people who are storing things on my computer or using my computer to do other things, and I'm sure there must be some that are doing that, it probably frustrates the hell out of them, because all of a sudden I just go away. Tough. Life is rough.
Life is rough. And speaking of rough, as we start getting to some of our main topics, 646-721-9887, or you can join us in the chat rooms, either one of them. Something scary has been going on lately in the because I'm a talk show junkie. You know, I work at night, so I listen to, you know, a few talk shows like KGO and others. And some of the conversations going on this weekend just brought chills up my spine. And one in that talk is that we have to reelect President Obama because Herman Cain dropped out and the other guys have their own issues and we shouldn't put them in. It's like, what? No.
You know, you talk about listening to talk shows. I watch television, and I on C-SPAN, Newt Gingrich has a speech or a thing he does on C-SPAN, and it was one of the things that he talked about was the fact that he needs to have somebody in there because we can't conceive of what could happen with four more years of Obama. But he was talking about debating Obama when he gets nominated as the GOP candidate. He's going to challenge Obama to 7 debates before the election, and if Obama doesn't accept, what he's going to do is everywhere Obama goes, he's going to show up 4 hours later and rebuke everything he said. So it'll be interesting to see what
he's going to go up and go, yeah, what he said.
No, he's going to go up and, because, you know, whatever Obama says, he's going to go in there and do a speech 4 hours later saying whether it's good or bad or indifferent and how he would do it better or wouldn't do it at all or whatever. And he says on these debates, he's even going to concede to let Obama have teleprompters because he won't use them, but he'll let Obama use teleprompters. And he says, you know, because imagine how would you like to defend Obamacare without a teleprompter?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is again, I'm going by my feeble little memory here because they're bringing it up last night. One of the reasons why on the last election that McCain didn't get elected, because, you know, we didn't want another Bush, and Obama came in, you know, hope and change. But as it turns out, you know, it's a good thing that McCain didn't get in because he's got some dirty dealings he's trying to push through that – like I say, I don't have it in front of me, and I apologize about allowing more military within, to work within the borders of the United States. But if we don't put a president, or if we put a president into office, put him because of what they stand for. Don't just put somebody in office, oh, well, I don't like any of the Republican lineup, so I'm going to put Obama back in. No, that's the worst thing I feel that we could do.
Well, see, that's one of the things I get really upset about. They talk about Ron Paul not being electable. Of course Ron Paul is electable. Absolutely is electable. If the GOP National Convention decides to get behind him, he can be very easily electable. There's nobody that is not electable that's running on the ticket. Well, of the top 7 or 9, let's put it that way. If you go and check on KRBN.com, by the way, I'd like to recommend that you do that, because there, over on the right-hand side, you have a thing that says candidates. You can click on that, and it will take you – actually, it's on the front page. It's not over there at all. It's right on the front page you can click on. And it's called Declared Candidates, and it will give you a list of all of the candidates. There are several candidates that are running that we never hear from or never hear about. And so you might want to hear and look at them and talk about them. I don't think we're ever going to hear about them, because they just aren't getting enough numbers. But it's a kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you can't get enough advertising to get the numbers, then you can't get it into getting free advertising to get the numbers. So it's really kind of sad. So we're stuck with a few that we know about and can understand and see what they're doing. So.
Well, and also check out the page anyways. We just recently revamped it. It looks really good. It's got a lot more information on it. It's updated more often now. And
it's updated almost daily, as a matter of fact. I have a news item on there from Reuters from today, or from yesterday, rather. So that and I've got the information on there about the Portland Public Schools, if you want to go and look at that and read that. We'll talk about that in a minute, though.
Yeah, and speaking of John McCain, too, this just came out about 6 hours ago on Fox. John McCain is, I don't know, I guess I just don't like demographics, for a sake, but he's, the headline is, John McCain says, powerful Latino vote is up for grabs in 2012. I guess I just get tired of everything being, Latino or whatever. I don't know. It's just me.
You need to stop that, because they're pretty big candidacy, a pretty big constituency, but everything is up for grabs. I don't mean to dispute the, and of course, see, I don't like McCain anyway. I know McCain. I've met McCain. I've talked to McCain. I've interviewed McCain when I was at KSFE in Needles, California, and I just do not like the man, did not like the man when he ran. I'm not going to get, but I'm not a friend of his, and he's not a friend of mine, and I don't think he's very legitimate. So thank God he's not running. But
absolutely. And I'd like to go ahead and open the phone lines here real quick. We have a phone call from area code 832. So welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going today?
Fantastic.
I just wanted to comment on the title of you guys' program today, Vote Obama because Herman Cain left. that's a statement and a half there. I just had a conversation. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I say, isn't it a statement and a half? That's scary.
It's very scary. I just had a conversation with independent candidate Albert Morzuch. I do some work for him online, and our conversation, and we're going to be releasing this later today, maybe the whole Cain issue was just to sell another book. I mean, here's a guy that supposedly had all these affairs, had this affair with this one woman for, I believe, 9 months, 9 years, whatever it was a long time. And, how can anybody run for president of the United States and not expect that to come out? I mean, you just can't.
Well,
so,
of course.
He
maintains he didn't do it.
Yeah, but if you notice that.
He claims he didn't.
Well, if you notice that, the first couple that came out, you know, people just kind of went, eh, whatever. And each one that came out was bigger than the other one. But my opinion is I think that Herman Cain was actually making a big impact. Look at what happened with Perot. I mean, he was making a great impact, and the Republicans and Democrats were copying his method, and then they started threatening his family.
Well, you know, I have one thing to say about this whole thing. That is, we sat back and we allowed a president to go through a whole scandal a couple years back, and we just ignored it. Now, we did supposedly impeach him, but that didn't do anything. He didn't leave office. He didn't do anything. So why are we so concerned about this? This is every one of our candidates and presidents are doing something while they're in office, and we seem to ignore them, and all of a sudden we've, you know, hounded this guy clear out of office, and I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you, and that's my point. I mean, for an adulterous scandal to come out and for him to walk away from leading the polls and, you know, having the position he was in, to just walk away from it and go, okay, I'm going to decline here. I'm going to drop my campaign and so forth. To me, that just seems a little strange. I mean, maybe he's just selling another book.
If you look at it, I think you'll find that the reason he walked away from it is because the funding started drying up. He didn't have any money, and this man, he's not a poor man by a long ways, but he's not really a rich man, and it does take an awful lot of money to put on a national campaign.
Yeah, I know it does, but here's a guy that just made a million off of a book 3 months ago, 4 months ago. That's what I'm saying. You know, I think we'll see another book. And I think the girlfriend, the last one that comes out, that came out, I think she'll have a book deal before the end of the year.
I think, to be honest,
you know,
in my opinion, all of these women were put up to this by somebody who's got it in for him. I don't think that they did this on their own. I don't think that they you know, because you don't sit back, 14 years and wait to bring something like this up. I mean, there was something politically motivating them to do it, or someone politically motivating them to do it. And it is too bad that it had to affect him to the point of making him suspend his campaign.
Well, on top of that, every one of them that came out, you know, that actually spoke, except for the first couple that were kind of still anonymous, came out and said, well, you know, I didn't really want to do it, or didn't really want to bring this out, but I brought it out because, you know, of the way that he was downplaying the other women. It's like, well, if you didn't want to bring it out, why'd you bring it out?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, when their wallet got fatter, that's why they brought it out. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, this lady that had this multi-year relationship with him, imagine what the book, you know, being the other woman for 9 years or 13 years, whatever it was. You know, that's she just wrote herself a $1 million ticket.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, I just really hope that people don't decide that just because Herman Cain dropped out. I mean, I like Herman Cain, to be honest. I mean, there's some things that I don't agree with, but overall, I like the fact that, you know, he's the guy you call to fix a business, for one, and the corporation known as America needs a big fix, and he's not a politician, that's the other thing, but I just hope that people just like what they're talking about on the other talk shows that, well, if he's not running, we need to reelect Obama. In fact, let me put this question out there because I really don't know. Can we write in Herman Cain as a presidential candidate?
Oh, yes.
You can write in a candidate. The problem is getting them on the ballot in the other states. There's an organization that I'm working with. It's called America's Elect. And what they've done is they secured a ballot for 50 states. For whoever wins their campaign runoff. What it is going to be an online campaign, and it's going to be anyone that anybody nominates. And then they're going to have a debate of the top six, I think, in June. And then from that debate, they're going to do a runoff, and that's who's going to get the November ballot as a basic, you know, independent write-in. So we're opening the door to a third party. one of the things that, that this era, this vote in 2012 is really reflects back to was George Washington when he was leaving office, you know, said that, you know, this two-party thing is going to divide the country, and he really hoped to see that not happen. And I think, you know...
I'm going to have to interrupt you because your phone line is so bad. We can't make out what you're saying for some reason. I don't know what's happened, but it's breaking up really, really bad. So I'm going to have to interrupt. If you would like to try hanging up and calling back again right away, we'll see if it cleans it up. But right now, I can't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I am making out,
okay,
though...
Okay, I moved. Is that any better?
Hasn't changed, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
all right, guys.
No,
appreciate it.
About the two parties.
And call back if you want to.
Yeah, and send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, with the information that you're telling us about, and we'll go ahead and post that. But no, I agree with the caller that he's talking about Lincoln thinking that the two party system will divide America, and I totally agree with him. But the downside is like I say, just like Perot. Which, like him or not, he did get a lot of people involved in politics, but he got zero electoral votes. He had absolutely no chance at all becoming president because of the Electoral College, similar to the fact that there were two presidents in our history that were not elected from the popular vote. They were elected from the electoral vote.
We've got to get some people in here that are ready and willing to do some major changes in our system. Our campaign finance reform, whatever you want to call it, but there's got to be some changes made because and by the way, that's another thing that I did is put a thing on the website on KRBN.com, KRBNradio.com. I've got to remember that. There's a radio on KRBNradio.com. Go down there at the bottom of the page. It's left. It says Electoral College, and that gives you a whole thing to tell you about what and why and when and where for the Electoral College. I'm not sure I'm still impressed with the Electoral College or whether it's necessary or not, but a lot of people seem to think it is. So you can read that down there. We've got an awful lot of information available for you on the website now, information about your senator, your representative. And there's a thing on there called direct election. They're doing a direct election on the Internet this year where you can nominate the candidates and then vote for the candidates. It's just an online thing. It's nothing else at this particular point, but it gives you an idea of what can happen. And I think it's a great idea. I'm going to do it just to see what it does and how, and see how well it works. And then there's some information about the 2012 presidency. There's a lot of information over there now if you're at all interested. And, of course, everybody talks about the Constitution. Everybody is talking about do you go along with it? Do you support it? Do you not support it? Do you, you know, and that's on there, too. You can click on the Constitution. You can actually read the actual Constitution online. So got a lot of information for you there.
Anyways, I want to thank the caller. And if you want to try giving us a call back and see if it'll work. Again, that'd be great. We do have phone lines open, obviously, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to also chime in on that and anything else. But, yeah, I really hope that we do need to do something about the two-party system. That's obvious because, this is the other thing, too. I mean, this is, like you said, as far as dividing America, I'm tired of hearing, we got to reach out to the other side of the aisle. It's like, you know what? You guys are acting like children. Get along, play together, and get this ship known as America back on course.
I don't even know that we need to do anything about the two-party system. All we need to do to fix this whole thing is to actually use the two-party system. Right now, you know, we voted in all one party. And that's what screwed things up and brought things to an absolute standstill. And now we have the opportunity, and unfortunately, like I say, and I've said it before, I'm afraid we're going to go the other direction and make it all the other party. So whatever we do, we need to actually hope that we can get some sort of a balance in there, because the two-party system is supposed to have some give and take in it, and not everybody is supposed to agree with everybody, and we need to have people who do have a possibility of thinking for themselves. So it is really important. This is probably the most important I think this is the most important election we've had since we've had elections, to be honest with you.
Just like your philosophy 3 years ago, which was, you know, what can 4 years hurt?
Yeah, right. A lot.
Anyway, let me give a plug to the caller that was his organization. You can check out his website at http://americanselect.org. americanselect.org. So check that one out.
Okay. Great. He put that on there. Super. So one of the things I want to bring up, are you aware that the post office is going to do it? The post office is talking about cutting back, I mean, a huge, huge amount, $3 billion in reductions of service. One of the things that they would do is there would be no more overnight mail, period, mail, which, of course, that's no real big thing, except that you got to understand a lot of newspapers or magazines or different things like that are time-sensitive. That's going to eliminate some of their doing business. And
well, that's part of the thing about Netflix. You know, you place your order, and tomorrow you got your movie.
Not anymore. But on the same, you know, on the same token, I don't find this a real major problem, other than the fact that they're talking about putting, 30,000 people out of a job. That's a problem. But they're cutting 250. Mail processing centers around the country, and that's as early as March of next year. So this is also all going to make a huge, huge difference in how things are done as far as sending things from one place to another. But, of course, and they say, well, it's going to drive more people to the email. No, email is what's done this in the first place, folks, and email is just too easy and too free. And then we've got the UPS and the FedEx people that can take up the slack and the real quick stuff where you're actually moving objects, physical objects, which, of course, email can't do. So there is always a place for the post office, and the post office simply has to become more efficient, and that's been their problem all along. They have not been very efficient, haven't been able to keep up with the other things, and that's what they've got to do, is become more efficient. And so maybe this will help do that.
Well, on the other side of the coin, and I'm trying to do a quick search for this. I remember this talk a couple of years ago, because when the post office, when volume starts slowing down thanks to the internet email, is they actually talked about charging an email tax in order to subsidize the post office. I haven't heard any talk about that lately.
Thank God.
I would definitely, you know, no, sorry, I'm not going to. You know, I don't want to spend money for.
This is the part of free enterprise that we're talking about. You don't punish one person in order to support another person. How do we know we're supporting the right thing? Maybe the post office is not the way we're supposed to be going. Granted, we started that way, but things have changed, folks, ready or not. And so, you know, there's no real reason for the post office to be there anymore, to be honest with you. The idea of sending packages and things could be done more efficiently and easier by UPS and FedEx. And what is it? There's another one, NHL or something like that. There are others and local versions of it. So there are lots of ways around this. And just because we had this gargantuan outfit called the post office used that for so many years, that doesn't mean it was better.
Well, I'll disagree with you. I think the post office does have its rates it has its rates too. Its place. But also, like what's going on in the chat room at the moment, this is on our caller. He has a friend that works for the post office, says that every day they'll deliver for FedEx and UPS at low rates. So, you know, they have to be competitive, especially in packages. And, you know, a lot of the mail that we get really is not that time sensitive. I mean, if I get the bill for the TV, you know, a day or two late, well, that's not going to, I'm going to lose sleep over it.
I noticed that Yeah, FedEx and UPS are using the post office as their final destination, and maybe that's the thing it's going to end up being. Maybe it's going to be different than it has ever been. That doesn't make it bad or good or anything. We just need to do some changes, and maybe that's what we're coming up with, is a change.
Well, one of the issues the post office has is a little thing called convenience. You know,
They've worked on being convenient by putting stuff online. You can download, you can load all kinds of things online.
Well, that's true. But you know, if I want to mail something out, all I have to do is walk down the street and slap it in a box. I don't have
that's
to go
easy. You
way
can walk down the street. Walk down the street.
Well, yeah, if you can walk.
I have trouble with that. Walking.
Yeah. Well.
I find the internet and the computer extremely valuable to do business with and do things with. And the older I get and restricted I find myself.
Yeah, and our caller just logged out, but he left us with a little note, which is a good topic, too, that kind of going along with the email tax, you know, they've been talking about this for a long time, wanting to charge the whole, you know, tax the whole internet, because there is a lot of commerce going on. And I always love to talk about we as a government are losing so much billions of dollars in revenue because of this. No, you're not losing it. You never had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, Cliff, you got some stuff on kind of local news here for Portland, I believe.
Well, the thing I got was the school system. There's a school bond in Portland that went down in flames, so to speak. They only had 587 votes, and they were trying to get $548 million for a school modernization bond they were going to put on the ballot in May. And the voters basically rejected the whole thing by a margin of 50.24% to 49.76. It was close, which is surprising to me that it was that close, but they didn't make it. A lot of people are not happy with the school system. And the fact is, now here's a comment. Thanks. I'm not going to name the names. For your efforts, let's bring your attempts to engage Portland Public Schools with a new fresh stakeholder. For mostly pointing out to our readers, same old, same old. The only difference this time around is David, as PPS's new created deputy chief financial officer, gets to make $100,000 plus a year. So they're taking this money and hiring people, and not everybody is too thrilled about that. People are talking about the biggest bond measure of all time in the 80s, and the fact that they ignore all of this maintenance and they spend all their money on wages and salaries and benefits, and then when all of a sudden building starts falling apart, they go after a bond measure to try to get more money to fix the buildings that they ignored in the first place. And that's the gist of what's all the comments are. There were like 8 comments, and all of them were bad comments. And nobody went along with the actual board idea of floating bond. So this is something that happened just in this last week in Portland, and people are not falling for it, because everybody waits till the very last minute and then cries wolf, so to speak, and people are getting used to the fact that that's what's going on, and they're understanding it. And you know, again, it's exactly what I've been saying all along. You can fix things by voting or not voting.
Well, that's just the thing, too, is that people are getting tired of constantly throwing money at the schools. But conversely, a lot of voters keep falling for it. Well, it's for the kids.
Yeah.
And so they fall for that, especially when they don't do their homework.
Catch it on.
Yeah, people are starting to catch on because we don't have the money. I mean, just like the Salvation Army, I believe, they're the bell ringers, right, at the store.
Yeah.
They said their collections are down big time, and they chalk it up to the way the economy is that it's not that people aren't generous, that we just don't have it to give. You know, a lesson that our government should take when we borrow money from other countries and give it away.
Yeah. But we keep doing that. And, of course, I keep seeing people on television in different interviews and saying, well, we've got to give money to who? We've got to give money to this guy. We've got to continue giving money to Pakistan because we need Pakistan as our friend. No, we don't. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We just simply don't. If Pakistan wants to be our friend, then they're going to be it, and they're going to court us. Because the simple fact is we have the money, we have the technology, we have all these things, and Pakistan doesn't. And so, but Pakistan doesn't care. They're happy with being Pakistan, and that's good. They should be, just as we are. And so this idea of us having to give things to beg for friendship, I don't go for that myself. I don't think we need to do that. I think we can accomplish things without it. And I agree. I believe that we should literally, and I don't know, I think two or three people that are on the GOP ticket at this point are advocating just cutting it all off and then restarting it and starting over again and deciding who and what and when and why and where. I mean, you know.
Whenever you buy a friendship, that never works.
Yeah, you really don't have anything then.
Yeah, it's called false friends.
Yeah, or full friends.
Anyways, I'm going to pause here for just a moment. Again, to give out phone number 646-721-9887. The both chat rooms are open. The one in Blog Talk Radio, 4SizeKRBN.
We haven't heard from the dog.
Or you can go onto our homepage, krbnradio.com, and join us in the chat room there. You do not need an account. Again, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And also, I want to talk a little bit about cookies. Specifically, cookies for your dog, because we get paid to talk about that.
So I want cookies. I'm all for cookies.
He's all for cookies. He still wants them too. Dancing dog cookies is what I'm talking about. They're homemade. It's the husband and wife team, and they're for sale online and in selected stores in Lane County. They look really impressive. They're all natural. They're good for your little doggy. And Cliff still thinks that they should have dancing cat cookies, but...
Yeah, I'm all for it. Why not? And you can go to krbnradio.com and click on Dancing Dog Cookies over on the left-hand side. They've got a little ad over there, and go right to their website, and you can see their cookies, you can see their dogs, you can see their friends. It's a nice website.
Yeah, and check it out, and speaking
dog,
of checking
Skippy.
Out...
Oh. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them. And I'm sure you will, too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out, and if nothing else, tell them hi. But they're very impressive.
Tell them Cliff and Robin say hi.
That's right. It's absolutely worth checking out, but... Cliff, you got other things on the docket?
Yes, I got one thing here that's kind of scary. We're talking about new labor rules that will end teenage jobs. They're talking about cutting back again on what teenagers can do and where they can work and where they can't. On the farm especially is where this is real important, because teenagers used to, they could tend cattle, drive tractors or ATVs, all kinds of things, and they're going to cut all of this out. What did this guy say here? He said something about, well, they can still shuck corn, detassel corn, haul hay, feed the cattle. Well, you can't feed the cattle most of the times. If you're feeding the cattle, you're using a tractor or something, and they're not going to allow you to do that. But they're talking about cutting this stuff back. We should be opening this up. We should be making it easier for the kids to get jobs. I mean, it's to this point where they're not going to let you walk down the sidewalks, because it's a possibility a car could run up on the sidewalk and hit you. I mean, you're going to have to... they're going to start putting big barricades between the sidewalk and the roads or something. Then we're just getting totally absurd about the things that we're doing. We've raised our driving age to 18 and sometimes more now. One of the things they're doing is saying you can't work at heights over 6 feet. Well, I know houses that are 6 feet up. That means you can never go home. I mean, come on, folks. Let's get a little bit more logical on this. So this is just absolutely ridiculous. And so this is something that's fairly recent. And we need to get a hold of our senators and legislators and such people. And again, I'm gonna keep harping on this, because if you go to krvnradio.com and you can click on senators and you can click on legislators and you can representatives, and that will take you to a page that will show you their email address, and you can actually get a hold of them and contact them and tell them what you think and what you don't think. Because, you know, again, I'm pushing and pushing and pushing this, because the simple fact of the matter is that's the way we're going to make differences. That's the way we're going to make changes, is letting our elected officials, our hired officials, if you wish, and that's what they are. We're hiring them to do a job for us, and we're electing them to do this, and we've got to let them know what we want them to do. If we don't tell them what we want them to do, how are they going to know?
Well, and also there was talk about making it a requirement that farmers, if they're going to drive some of their farm equipment, that they would have to have CDLs, commercial driver's license.
No, they're not going to let them drive it, period.
Well, I think it's ridiculous, because, you know, if you're on your own property, but a lot of times, you know, they'll drive it between on public roads between different farms, or they'll go help out a neighbor's farm or whatever. But, you know, they've been doing it for years, but now they're trying to make it, you know, under the guise of safety, and also put, again, like Cliff was just saying, the age restrictions.
Well, they're just cutting it off. I mean, they keep doing this and keep doing this. It's impossible for a kid to go out and get a job. And the simple fact is, how are young people supposed to learn the actual economics of things? I mean, if you don't get a job, and get a job that you can get paid for. Now, going a job of taking out the garbage every night is just a part of being a family, and that's something you're supposed to do. You don't necessarily get paid for it. So you can, you know, I can understand a young person being upset about having to do that. All over, I did have the position where my kids, I actually paid them to do things like that. Sometimes not necessarily in cash, but in something else that they wanted. So the reward system and the pay system is something they have to learn. It's not something they grow up knowing automatically. And if we don't teach them to do this, then how are they going to learn it? And if you put all these laws and rules and regulations that we can't teach them to do this, then we're going to grow up with a generation of kids that we already have, a bunch of sloths that don't want to do anything, that think it's all supposed to be just handed to them. And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Well, besides, in the trucking industry, a lot of the companies prefer hiring farm kids because they spend all their life handling big rigs. So, sure. I got something else to throw out there, unless you got something else you want to add to it.
Lots of things, but go ahead.
Donald Trump is in the news again.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, he's also kind of toying the idea out. Oh, maybe I'm going to run. But he's set to moderate the Republican debate. And a lot of half of the candidates are going, yeah, go away. And I think that's the way America's kind of taking it, too, is like, you know, you've teased us. Go back in your little hidey hole.
What debate is this, and when is it?
It is set for December 27th in Des Moines, Iowa. And it's I guess he'll be the moderator.
I'm trying to digest this as to what I would think of that. I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Well, like I said, I mean, a lot of people, when Trump kind of teased everybody, and all it did is kind of promote his program, which I don't recall top of the air, but The Apprentice, you know. A lot of people like the idea because of, you know, I mean, like him or not, he's had his ups, his downs, as far as his business goes. But, you know, he's the Trump. And so people were really excited about it. And, you know, he did that working up to, I'm going to make the announcement, yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. And people were just all the talk and kind of hoping, yeah, you'd be really good. Well, I have no intention of running for. Then why the hell did you come out and tease this?
I don't know.
And here he is again, coming back out, you know, to put his foot back into, you know, the political arena, you know, or trying to get involved in it for whatever grandstanding he's trying to do. It's like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, you had a serious chance of really being a contender, and all you did was just a self-promotion, you know, for your other things you got going on. It's like, you know what, just step back and let, you know, quit. It's already becoming, I guess, the X Factor or whatever type of episodes with the Republicans or debates anyways. You know, it's like a game show or soap opera. And the sad thing about it is that we need to take this seriously. We've already had a bunch of interruptions because of McCain's background. It's turned into one big game show.
Actually,
a reality game show.
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent, but the actual televised debates.
The actual?
Pardon?
Was it the actual or the actual?
I'm hearing some delays here and echoes, and it's hard to talk when you're talking back in your own ear. The thing that I'm finding is that I'm learning a lot. We sat down and watched one last night about where it was on C-SPAN, I think it was, or where it was. But anyway, they sat down. No, it was Fox. And they sat down and talked to each candidate for 15 minutes, one person at a time. Three persons asking the question and all, I guess, about that one person. I found that the different... We're experimenting with different types of debates, and I find it very interesting in getting a lot more information that way.
I like that. I also think that, unfortunately, I haven't had the chance to watch many debates, you know, because of my schedule and time. But what I'd like to see, and Cliff, maybe you know the answer to this one, is that when they get out there and they start, I can't remember what the word is at the top, but when they won't. You ask them a question like, you know, what is the time today? And they'll spend 5 minutes avoiding the question.
Now, see, that's the interesting thing, because you haven't had a chance to watch many of the debates this year. That hasn't been happening nearly. In fact, almost not at all. The debates are theme oriented. They'll be around taxes, or they'll be around defense, or they'll be around something else. So they come in with an idea in mind of what they're going to be asked right from the beginning, and that's the way they're thinking. But they basically are answering the right questions. Now, I've watched almost all of these, and I've noticed that different hosts, shall we say, moderators, whatever you want to call them, have a different ability to get more information out of the people. The CBS thing that I think they were doing the other day, the moderators spent their time trying to keep the audience to be quiet and not boo and not do this and not do that. And we never got really much information out of the actual candidate. But then the next time you work around, like Wolf Blitzer did it, he was a moderator on one of them, and he did a fantastic job. He didn't worry about what the audience did. If they made noise, fine. If they yelled, fine. You know, I like that. I would rather know what the audience has to think about the product. And then he got a lot of information. He didn't cut the people off exactly at 1 minute and try to keep interrupting him. He let them go. But nobody on that debate for 2 solid hours, nobody abused the process. Nobody went 20 minutes. They all chopped. They may have gone 2 minutes instead of one, which is 100% over time, but that's still not a problem. You got 2 hours, for God's sakes. You can get a lot of information.
Well, it gets, not only does it get the information out from the candidate, which is really the whole point of the debate, but also getting the feedback from the audience also tells the candidates what people are thinking too. You know, they come out and think, well, I think we should raise taxes. I'm just being facetious here.
Yeah.
I think we should raise taxes 1% on everybody and would cure the total deficit. Like I said, I'm being facetious. I'm just making this up. you know, which may sound pretty good in their little circles of meetings. Hey, you know what, fellow millionaire, what's 1%? Well, to like you and me, 1% is a heck of a lot of money. And
1% is a heck of a lot of money to anybody. To me, you and me, 1% might be $25. But to a billionaire, it may be $250 million. So, you know, it's a lot of money. But that's not the answer. You can't tax your way into prosperity unless you raise the taxes beyond what everybody in the United States, what anybody in the United States probably.
Well, yeah, exactly. But my point is that, you know, on their side of the fence, it may sound like a really good idea. And, you know, again, talking with people where, you know, $25 is no big deal. You know, they'll go spend that for lunch every day, which for me, that's a 2.5 days food budget.
Yeah.
But and for a lot of people, you know, even longer. But the point is, you know, hey, this may sound really good. And we'll put that out. And then they'll say, and this is what really causes the hair on my back to go up, is if I had hair on my back, don't say it, Cliff. Anyways, hush. Anyways, you didn't swallow your coffee again, did you?
I'm fine.
Anyways, but the point is, and what gets me so mad is, this is what America is asking. This is what they want. How do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the fact is that you've got to understand the disconnect here is the fact that every one of our senators, every one of our representatives, almost all of them are multimillionaires. They don't have a grasp on what the real world is like. I'm sorry. So that's why we got to get a handle on this campaign finance reform. We got to get a handle on how much it costs to run into office so we can get some real just people in there, not multimillionaires who really don't know, you know, what the price of a loaf of bread is.
Here's a thought. How about looking at they're looking for ways to cut. How about looking at our system that when you run for office, you're doing it for more than just the fact that you may become a millionaire or more of a millionaire than you were before. And like you said in the 28th Amendment, you know, make the same laws. You know, we got Nancy Pelosi and them that are doing insider trading that would put anybody else in jail.
It's not Nancy Pelosi. It's every one of them. Every one of them now we're finding out is doing that.
Like Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
You know, meaning a lot of them. I'm not just focusing on her, but you know, she's doing it. It's like I said, these are laws that put you and me in jail if we did that.
That's why we've
got to change that. In fact, recently they got put in jail for doing it.
We've got to change that law.
Look at Martha Stewart. What happened to her?
Yeah, and she got put in jail, and yet every one of our senators and representatives is doing that, and they're fine.
Yeah. No wonder why they're not really worried about us as the country. You know, the whole reason why we put them there to begin with, you know, they're being self-serving. They know that there's lots of money that's coming to us. It's just like when we were talking a couple of shows back about the super committee and how nobody was surprised that it failed. There's a big long list of people that sent a corporation that sent money to the super committee. Why are you giving money to the super committee?
To get a decision that you like.
Exactly. And why are they accepting it?
By the way, and no decision at all was one that you like.
Yeah. Was there a decision at all made?
That's what I said. There was no decision at all, and that's a decision they like. That was the idea. They didn't want them to make a decision. They didn't want them to make a recommendation. They wanted it to go back to that, what they called it, which, of course, is not going to happen either. So the whole thing is we're getting people – that's my problem. We're not getting candidates in there that are there to do anything for our country. We're getting candidates in there who are there to pad their pocket, to do something that is specifically for them or their business or their family or somebody of that sort, because almost nobody is running to help you and me.
Well, and I'm looking this up really quick. Isn't there a federal law that limits the maximum amount, like at Christmas, for example, if you want to gift another employee as a company, or even, you know, from employee to employee, I think it's like a $25 maximum limit that you can do.
No. That's just within there is a law about that as far as how much you can there's so many ways around that. There's a law about how much I can give to Newt Gingrich, for example, me personally. It's like $2,500 or something like that. But my company, CliffWilson.com, can give him $1 million. No problem at all. So there's so many ways around this, and that's my point, is this: our senators and representatives make sure that it looks good because they promote the one that allows $2,500, but they don't say anything about the fact that they can get it millions of dollars a time in a different way, and they make sure there is a different way no matter what. If somebody catches them fast, they have to stop it, then they change it and make it a different way. But that it always is going to be there, and that's what I get upset about, is the shadiness of all of what's going on. And it is definitely shady, and it is something. That's why we need to term limits are important, and get people in there who don't have to have billions of dollars to do it.
Okay, what I was thinking of, and apparently I was wrong. It happens, and I do admit it. It's a IRS gift tax that limits the amount that you can give, which for 2010 is $13,000 per owner per recipient. And I guess the tax rate is 35% or something like that, but I don't know. The whole point is that we need to take the profit out of it. We need to, like the term limits, make it non-career. And we need to do something. This is not the way our founding fathers have wanted the country to go. And if we don't do something now, we're going to totally lose what we have.
Well, the original idea of our being able to elect all these people was the idea to get everybody a chance to govern the country, give everybody a chance to make the rules or to make the regulations, but more than giving them a chance, making it their responsibility. It's supposed to be a responsibility of each individual citizen to do what he can for his country. It's not supposed to be pawning it off on one poor person who's going to be there for 60 years in office. And ready or not, I don't want them in there for 60 years in office, but on the same token, I am aware that oftentimes they take a lot of abuse for being in there, even trying to do things that are good for the country, and they take a lot of abuse for that. So, spread it around, folks. Let's everybody have a chance. To heck with this. I'm all for term limits, maybe 4 or 6 years or whatever, but everybody must take their chance, take their responsibility, not just can, but must do that.
But, and part of that responsibility, too, is not to put Obama back into office just because Herman Cain is out of the race.
Well, I have not even heard that, and I think that's such a whimsical idea, such a stupid idea that I won't even consider that. We don't dare put him in office for another 4 years. Look at what he's done to us already, and where he's put us already. And it's not just us; it's the whole world. By the way, we have the whole world is falling apart at this particular point. I don't know if you've been following that, but the European Union is in desperate trouble right now, and that's possibly partly because of dear old Mr. Obama.
Exactly. Also, the other thing that's been talking on the talk shows recently, and I want to kind of get in there because I think I found it, is you think the TSA is bad. That was the Homeland Security was developed out of the 9/11, and so then they decided to come up with the groping committee at the airports. And what's going on now is it's called the National Defense Authorization Act. And basically what it is an act that allows the military, U.S. military, to get more involved inside our borders of the U.S. and to detain American citizens indefinitely for no cause.
Yeah, we do have a problem with this Homeland Security being much more invasive than we would really like it to be.
Okay, you can't say that again, Cliff.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bricky for some reason. I don't know. But the idea that the Homeland Security is getting much more invasive right within our own families and our own businesses in the country than it should be. We need to be very careful how we authorized Homeland Security can do. Are you still there?
I'm still here, yes. Oh. On my end, it's very broken up. I do apologize for that.
For a little while. If we can help you see this ad, maybe we better change our system and go away. But yeah, I don't know what's happening. Some weather front somewhere that's doing this. But
okay, I'm going to go away for just a second, and Cliff, you want to go ahead and keep.
Okay, I'm going to change the subject and get into European community thing, the European financial stability plan that was announced at the European Summit on October 27th, and they've got another European Summit that's coming up in just a matter. Well, it's Thursday, as a matter of fact. It's very close, and a lot of things are going to be discussed. And right now, France and Germany, Angela Merkel, I guess it is, and Nicolas Sarkozy, I'll get it. Angela is Germany, Nicolas is France, are talking about what they're going to do to try to protect the euro and the European common market. And that's a real danger at this particular point. We're about at the point that Europe is going to just collapse, because things are changing so rapidly and they're not so. They're talking about, well, you know, one of the things is, and this is exactly what's happening to us. We are maybe we weren't there yet, but we are so close to it, it's not funny. And maybe we are there and we should be realizing it and we're not. But the fact is, things are going to have to change in this country and in the world. And consequently, these austerity programs that are being put into place, like in Greece, they're being harshly punished, the people of Greece, for things that their government has done. They thought when it was being done, the people of Greece thought it was being done for them. But you can't do things for the people that bankrupt the country. And that's what they were doing. They're spending more than they took in. And so you got to be really careful with that. And we're doing that today. This thing with the Portland School Board, one of the things that one of the comments brought up PERS and how much money PERS is spending. These people on the school staff and such that are sitting back there with huge retirement benefits from PERS. That's, you know, there's going to come a point when we're going to have to declare bankruptcy, and all that's going to go away. And so, you know, you better put it aside and save it while you can. And the problem is now, think about this, what are you going to do to save it? How are you going to save it? You're going to have to buy gold or some physical thing in order to save your money. Because the banks collapse, all that money that you've got there isn't there anymore.
Here's the thought. Americans, and I'm not talking about, you know, the government, Americans themselves, when we put our heads together, we come up with answers. In fact, just like even technology, I'll just throw out an example. Back when the home satellite dish first came out, everything was free for a while. Then they came up with this decoding scheme that similar to what the military uses. And it took about a year for hobbyists, just regular hobbyists, to come up with a chip to decode that encryption and to make it available. But the point is, you know, it's supposed to be high-tech military encryption, but we found a way to around it. Maybe since the super committees and whatever other committees that they're throwing up at the top level of our government, if they can't do the job, maybe we as Americans need to take the ball and come up with a way to do it. Like they're part of the thing, they can't come up with the budget. Because, well, let's put it all, we got technology now. Let's put it all out there, you know, what we're spending and what we as Americans feel that we can do without.
You see, what you're saying makes sense, but the problem with what you're saying is that until it affects directly you and me and everybody around, nobody's going to do anything about it. Well, nobody did anything until all of a sudden they wanted to get their television for free, so somebody sat down and figured out how to do that. But until it actually directly affects you as an individual, you're not going to spend your time worrying about it. You're going to spend your time out at your job, making a living and doing things like that. And so consequently, until it is beneficial to the general public's not going to take it up and do anything about it. And so that's, and we're getting there. We're getting to the point, like I say, when all of a sudden things change, and it may not be us. It may be Europe. Maybe Europe, the banks in Europe are going to go broke. If the banks in Europe go broke, you got to understand our banks, our population has huge bundles of money in European banks. We have invested in European things. And so, you know, when the Bank of Europe or whatever they call it goes broke or declares bankruptcy or declares whatever it's going to declare, it is going to affect us specifically and individually. And so consequently, then maybe something can be done about it. But until, and the straw on the camel's back at this particular point is going to be Greece. Greece is the one, I think, that's going to go first. And just them, if they fold and fail, that's going to make a huge difference, because there's a lot of people who have, there's, what was it, it's $13 trillion. $13 trillion that the banks in Europe have loaned to the different countries as bailout funds. They've got $13 trillion out there. So if all of these different countries declare bankruptcy, that's $13 trillion they're going to lose. That's a huge amount of money. And not many people or banks or even groups of banks can afford to just swallow that and throw it away. So it's going to make a huge...
Can you imagine... Can you actually picture $13 trillion?
Actually, yes, I can. I saw a thing. It was a movie of some sort the other day where they took $1 trillion and stacked it up because, you know, we only, the biggest bill we make is a $100 bill. And if you stack up $100 bills to $1 trillion, it goes from here to the moon. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $100, actually, but...
Yeah, that's right. In fact, it is. But anyway, it's just absolutely astounding. And I don't want to scare people, but I do want to scare people, because there are people that are talking about that you need to prepare for Europe to collapse before the new year, before the new year this year. They're talking about the fact that time is running out really, really fast. It could be weeks. It could be days. There's a material risk of fundamentally unnecessarily default by countries like Spain or Italy, which could be a financial catastrophe, dragging the entire European banking system and North America with it, so that they have to act now. In other words, the Deutsche Bank pitch book of the ECB is at this point, Europe is, Germany is about to tell Europe to take a hike. Germany is more or less bailing everybody out, and they're not going to do this forever. So things.
No, and I know that. I know what I'm going to say here. So get your blood pressure medicine ready.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Is that I kind of understand what's going on, but everybody else would be saying, "Okay, that's all good and well over there. Why should I care?"
Oh. Yeah. Go ahead.
In fact, folks, he's going to let loose.
Well, you should care, because the Bundesbank, the German bank, we have huge amounts of money tied up in German bank and Germany and what's going on in Germany. And if they default, and if Germany says, okay, that's it, we're not paying back anybody, we're not giving any more money, we're not doing anything, we're putting a clamp down on everything, that's gonna screw up the entire banking system, not just here in the United States, in Germany, but everywhere. It's going to make a huge, huge difference as to what's going on. And so consequently, you're going to have to take that into consideration. It's just...
Yeah, but how's it going to affect me as an individual in the United States? How's what's going on over there going to affect me?
Well, okay, you may be a little different right now, because do you still have any money in stocks or bonds?
No.
Okay, that's going to help you a little bit. But the fact you do probably have money in the bank. And consequently, the simple fact of the matter is, if it gets bad enough, that money is not going to be worth anything. That money is not going to be there. It's going to change and devalue the dollar itself. And when it does that, that is going to start affecting you as to how much your dollar is worth. And if your dollar isn't worth anything, then you've got nothing in the bank. So, I mean, it's not going to go away entirely, that's for sure. But it is going to make a huge difference as to what we've got and what we don't have. And it's going to affect every individual that's got money anywhere or doing anything. It's going to change how much money you make per hour, because it's going to change how much money the company and that you business with can make. It's going to make a huge difference, and it's going to be a really important thing that's happening. And it's not years away anymore. That's the thing. It's just not. It's coming very soon.
Well, and like I say, I guess like you said, until it actually affects you personally, it's. Well, I mean, it's just like what's going on with your neighbors across the street. You know, their financial situation doesn't affect you, but unless they come over to your house and until it affects your house.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to say is that I've got like five websites here that are predicting the fact that this could actually happen before the end of this year, and if not before the end of this year, certainly just after the end of this year. We have the next European summit meeting is on Thursday and Friday, and they're hoping to be able to come out with something that can do something about this. This is the Germany and France that are talking about that, but the whole group is getting together. 17 different nations are getting, actually it's 24 nations, I think it is, that are getting together. Some of them are a part of the group, but not a part of the Euro. And they're trying to come up with different ways to take care of things. Supposedly, Merkel, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, has a really good idea. Sarkozy, French president, is a little skeptical, but he's going along with it. So it'll be real interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on Thursday, because to give you an idea how concerned they are, they had a meeting October 27th that was supposed to solve a lot of these problems. On October 27th, they had their meeting, and it went one or two days, something like that. They didn't get there. They didn't come up with an answer. They're concerned about it enough that they're getting 27 countries together again in just 3 days to do it again. So they're really concerned about this. They're really sincere about it, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens and see if they can get things fixed. But can you imagine trying to get 27 countries to agree on something? That's not that easy to do. We can't even get...
No, we can't even get our own people to agree on anything, just the super committee again.
Yeah. That's only...
I mean, what happened to our country?
Well, what's happened to our country, see, you got to look at, if you really want to know what's going on, you've got to take a look at and go online and look at what happened to Greece. Greece did some great things. They thought it was really neat. They did the same thing that, for example, well, are you familiar with what PERS was? PERS, I guess it is, P-E-R-S.
Yeah.
The fact that they
for the people who are out in Oregon, that's the, it just slipped my mind, but it's the public...
retirement system. Well, basically what they did is they allowed you to retire. Say, for example, a school teacher that retires at 80% of their salary. Some of them even lasted long enough, they retired at more than 100% of their salary. So when they retired, they made more money than they did when they were actually working. You can't do that. You cannot...
Some of them didn't work that long. By the way, it's People's Employees Retirement System is what PERS is.
Right.
Because and some of them, normally everybody else, you and me, would have to work for a company for 15, 20 years in order to get a sizable retirement.
Government retirements were doing that. A lot of the governments were. And in Greece, they wanted to do that for everybody. And they started doing that for everybody. Unfortunately, you simply can't do that because all of a sudden you're paying out more in retirement funds than your gross national product is, and you can't do that. If you aren't making that money, you can't give it away. And so consequently, that's what's happened to Greece. And what's happened is they've what they call their austerity programs, they've had to cut back on things three times now, and the people of Greece are getting mad. They're getting really mad. They're demonstrating in the streets and rioting and everything else, because once you had $10,000 a month coming in, and now you've only got three. That's a huge difference. It's not just a little difference. It's a huge difference. So we've got to start doing something about that before that difference gets that wide.
Yeah, but what do you do? Do you get rid of the program altogether? I mean, that's part of the reason for working for the government is a retirement.
That's exactly right. And, yes, that's exactly what you do. You dump it and start over, and you put in something that's usable, something that's retainable, something that you can actually accomplish. I mean, you could give people, you know, nobody, 30, 40 years ago, nobody ever expected to retire at the same amount of money they were making while they were working. You know,
exactly.
Not even half as a general rule. You expected it to get very, very, very much lower. That's why one of the reasons supposedly a lot of people saved their money. They put their money in the bank. They put their money into retirement funds that made interest, things like that, in order to do that. They didn't expect the city or who are they working for to provide that kind of package. And so, And as a country, you can't do that. You just can't continue to do that. And Greece did it so far to the point that now they're going to have to declare bankruptcy. And that's what's going to happen when they declare bankruptcy. All of those retirements go away. Just simply go away.
Well, and things have changed, too. I mean, like large corporations, you know, if you went to work for a large corporation, chances are, you know, you would be there. I mean, some people have been there for two or three generations. I mean, like the Sony plant in Springfield. You know, when they built that brand new, I think it was a $70 million plant, who would expect them to close their doors 8 years later?
Well, see, that's the thing. The entire world is becoming much more volatile, and things are changing very rapidly. And so, these big plans and things like that are not going to happen again, because people are it's affecting people to the point now that they're afraid of them, so they're going to be wary of whatever happens. But it's the people who have already got these, and we're talking about millions of people who have already got these things, that are going to get hurt, because they are planning their life around them for the rest of their life, and it's going to change. It's going
right.
to change. We can't continue to do that. And we are just as at fault at this point as any of these other countries. Some of the other countries are not. Germany, for example, and some countries have been more careful about what they're doing. But now we're finding that even, you know, Italy, France, Spain, some of these bigger countries that we thought were being conservative were not. Were not necessarily being that conservative. And some of them were just being insane. So it's all just going to have to collapse. And until it does, we're not going to be that concerned about it. When it does, we're going to be panicky. And that's when the Americans, like you say, get down and dirty and fix things.
And speaking of down and dirty, we got 7 minutes remaining in the program. There's still time to give us a phone call, 646-721-9887.
Somebody must have an opposing opinion, so they can call me and tell me I'm out of my mind. And I'd be loved to defend my mind.
You're out of your mind.
But it's such fun. So, but it is. It's a lot of countries in the world and Europe. And we're not just talking about that. Right now, we've got to worry a little bit about the fact that some of the, like China, even China's concerned a little bit, but China's just going to step in here and take over things. And do we want that to happen? We've got
Well, speaking of China, since you brought that up here real quick. Again, on the talk shows last night. I haven't done my research on it, so I'm just going by what I heard. The pipeline from Canada to, I forget what they wanted it to go, but go through the U.S., which has been stalled, apparently China is now negotiating with Canada for that same, oil sands oil that they're talking about bringing down from here.
How can China get it? They're going to have to ship it.
They just pipe it over because they've already got pipelines going to the ports. So they have to do. I mean, the pipes are already there. But the point was is that we were getting kind of first dibs at it, and because we're humming and hawing the EPA, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we do take about 70% of all of the oil that Canada puts out. I mean, we take a monster chunk out of it. I didn't read that, and so I'll have to look out and look into that. But that I understand that China. You got to understand, China is desperate. They don't produce enough oil to take care of themselves, and their economy is growing significantly faster than ours is at this particular point. The amount of vehicles they have in China is doubling like every year, and they've got to find fuel for those people. Plus the fact, I don't know if you know about it, but China is artificially holding down the price of gasoline. They're selling it for less than it costs to buy it from the other countries. And they were. I think they've stopped doing that now because that became totally insane. But then again, we start getting into the fact that China doesn't play fair. They manipulate their dollars and they manipulate their money and they artificially state how much it's worth and such and which affects how much our currency is worth compared to it and they've either got to start playing by the rules or we've got to start freezing them out.
Well, we got to do something, but like I said. Mainly doing this program, we got to get our own house in order. We're worrying too much about overseas, which we got to worry somewhat. But like I say, when the people that we put in the office, which directly or indirectly make a difference on our everyday lives, aren't taking their job seriously, it's going to get to the point that we have to come in. Just like part of the initial reason, I guess, for the Occupy movement, we just got to tell them, hey, we're fed up and we're going to have to come in and take over. If you guys can't run the country, we will.
Now, the first thing we've got to do is get an administration that doesn't lie to us. The Obama administration announced that the unemployment rate dropped from 9 to 8.6%. He just did that. Just did that, by the way, on the 2nd of December. But that isn't what happened. In reality, in the month of December, 315,000 people gave up, stopped looking for a job, are not on the list. And so consequently, he didn't count them. And so our unemployment rate is not under 8.6%. It's still way up there, but they just dropped off and they're not being counted anywhere. And there's an awful lot more. I think there's a huge amount more than this, that 315,000 that we're talking about. I don't know where they came up with that number, but I would venture to say it's closer to 1 million. We've got an awful lot of people that are not employed because they can't find a job, but they've just simply dropped out and given up. And Obama administration is not acknowledging that. They're telling us things are getting better. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. Can you imagine the entire population of St. Louis just gave up looking for a job? I mean, just stopped. And that's what's going on. And until we can get an administration that's not afraid to tell us what's going on and then trying to figure out how to fix it, then we're not going to get anywhere. And so, like you say, you've got to fix your own house first. And we're not doing that.
Well, unfortunately, it's not uncommon to know that our government lies to us. Just outright, they change the numbers, like you're just saying. It's all self-serving, especially now that we're in elections, Like, oh, look, hey, things are going better. I'm doing such a good job. Well, now the questions that are being asked is, are you better off now, 3 years later, than you were 3 years ago?
No. But that's the thing. And we've got to change. And again, I'm going to say it again and again and again. The way to do anything about this is to vote. We've got the votes coming up. Go to krbnradio.com, krbnradio.com. I'm trying to put as much on there as I can come up with for you to be able to go and look up the candidates, look at the candidates, see what they say, what they don't say, look up when they're going to be on a debate, doing a debate, and find out when that's going to be so you can hear more about what's saying. The more information I can get on there to help you, the better prepared you will be to make a vote. And get up there and vote. Do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it.
And don't do it out of fear.
Don't
do it out of fear. Just because one person dropped out, don't put the other one back in.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But do it out of fear. Be afraid, because if you don't vote, man, it could be disastrous.
See you next week, folks.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook
and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.